Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Yeah, let's give it up. So much happening to the life of the church. So much happening next week. If you've picked it up already, it's Move Forward. It's Vision Sunday. It's Encounter Night. I mean, like a full lineup. Just be here. The seat that you're in now, just sit there. Obviously, when you move forward, go there, and then come back here for whichever service you're in. And just, you know, but there's so much to look forward to. You know, Vision Sunday is always one of the highlight services of the year. Kickstarts the year, inspires us with vision for both now and then for the rest of the year as well. You know, and Encounter Night. If you've been to an Encounter Night, like you know, and if you've been to Encounter Night, just slap of the back of the head somebody who hasn't been there and just says, like, don't question it, just be there. So it's all about the power of position. So let's position ourselves to encounter God next week. So really, really is an amazing Sunday to look forward to next week. But right now, we are in part three of our series called Invitations to Another Kind of Life. Pastor Candace kicked us off 2 weeks ago by speaking about the invitation to love others. And then Pastor Brian last week carried it on with a powerful message on invitation to love God. And today we're going to be speaking about the invitation to know God and to really view Him properly. So it's going to be an amazing time that we're going to spend together right now. But if you missed the first 2 weeks, can I encourage you to head over to our YouTube channel, be able to catch the message there and be able to both Pastor Brian and Pastor Candice's message, and just be inspired by it or be re-inspired by it if you had seen it already. But before we get going here, why don't you please join me in praying? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to get to know God better. Thank you that your Holy Spirit's presence and power is with us. Please speak to us, help us to be attentive, and help us, Lord, to receive your word well. In your mighty and powerful name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Now, we are in day 7 of our 10-day fast, so I am very much aware that some people are fasting coffee. So, like, attention spans may just be questionable right now. And some people are fasting food, which is even worse, because then, like, it's really, like, I realize that I may lose you along the way. It's fine. We've got a little bit of off-ramps where I could lose you along the way. And we'll just circle back in, you know. It's just, like, I'll keep bringing you back in and say, yeah, this is it. So come back. But hopefully I won't lose you up front. But can I encourage us to take notes, to allow God to speak to us through our notes and be able to carry the message on with us all throughout the week. And allow God to speak to us. Well, as we get going, you know, one of the most inspiring books I've read over the last couple of years was this short little book by John Tyson called The Intentional Father. And in the book, he speaks about two farmers. The first farmer was on his way to his farm and was on the country road, and he began to see that there was a fence that was broken. But not only that, but there was the second farmer trying to mend it and trying to fix it. But the second farmer wasn't alone. He was with his two sons. So his two young boys and him were trying to mend this fence. This first farmer looked perplexed, and he was wondering what in the world is happening? And he kind of accusingly said the following to the second farmer. He said, "Why are you letting your sons help you? It's going to take 5 times longer if you do. You should just do it yourself." To which the second farmer got up, dusted himself up, smiled at the first farmer before replying to him, "Oh, but you've made a mistake. You think that I'm repairing a fence. I'm not. I'm raising my sons." Now, it's a powerful little analogy that shows us two different views of fatherhood, two different views of how it is that parenting can be viewed. You know, the first one is that of the first farmer, a misconstrued view where he saw kids and just having children around is just an inconvenience, a cumbersome burden. It's like at every task that you do, there's the kids here. It's going to take longer. Everything just takes longer. You know, that's how he saw parenthood. That's how he saw fatherhood. And then you see the image of the second father, the father who recognized that, no, my kids are a blessing. They are my everything. I'll do everything with them. I'll take them on board with any task that I have on the go. And even if it takes longer, so be it, because it's an opportunity for me to connect with my son. And so often in our lives that we can be presented these contrasting views when it comes to God. You know, sometimes we can be presented a God that is so distant and so like foreign, a God who looks at humanity and says, what a cumbersome burden. I'm not just going to like sort them like cosmic flies. And you know, just like every wrongdoing that they do, I'm just going to like get rid of them and just like dismay them in every possible way. You know, whereas we can be presented another view. And can I encourage a more accurate view? Can I invite like a more inspiring view of who God is in our lives? And that is the God who comes alongside us, who sees the work that needs to be done. Yeah, there's repair work. Yes, things have been broken along the way. But instead of instantly doing it by himself like he can do, instead he invites us in. And said, even if it takes longer, even if it takes 2,000 years longer, so be it. I'm doing it with my kid. And that's worthwhile. And that's the view of God that we presented in Scripture. That's the view of God that we are encouraged and invited to see, to understand, and to involve and to incorporate into our lives. Because when we begin to view God that way, everything begins to change. How we see life begins to change. If we know that there isn't a cosmic God just ready with a bazooka to shoot us down. Instead, there's a loving Father who gets down in the dirt with us, ready to do the hard grind of life alongside with us. And it's the image of God that we presented in Genesis as well. You know, Genesis, the first three chapters tell us and they speak to us about how God created the world. You know, first 5 days, he breathed the world into being, stars, skies, oh, look cool, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. But when it got to day six, God got down, created mud, and said, I'm going to get dirty when I make these people. I'm going to really form them to how I want my image bearers to look like. And I'm going to breathe my life into them. And that's how he created man. Speak, 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 form. So that there can be people I can come alongside. And we're told that he just walked with humanity, walked with Adam and Eve through the cool of the day. You know, like they just, it was their hangout spot, you know. In their free time, Adam and Eve just named animals, like giraffe, dog, scorpion. Ooh, it's time to meet with God. Okay. And then they walked with God for the cool of the day, you know, just like friends would, you know. That's how we described it, that how it happened. And then we're told in Genesis 3, verses 8 to 9, it tells us this, that, and they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Where are you? An invitational question, as opposed to an accusational question. What have you done? Who do you think you are? Everything was perfect. You screwed it up. Why? Instead, he asked him an invitational question. Where are you? So I can come to you. Not where are you? Get you now. Where are you? So I can find you. So I can get to you. So I can see how things really at. And what we see from this encounter is that God doesn't change. He wants to know where his kids are. He wants to know where we are. And if he's constant and if he never changes, it means that we, like Adam and Eve, are the ones who change. We're the ones who, every time we mess up or every now and then when we realize, oh, I've blown it just one too many times, we're the ones who backtrack, find the nearest bush, and be like, yeah, I'm just going to just camp out here until God disappears, you know? But God is constant. He's still the same. He still meets up for his appointments with us and he still shows up and he still asks us, where are you? Because he wants to know. He wants to help. He wants to love us. He wants to showcase his love to us. And that's what he does every single time he asks the question, where are you? He's not the God like the first farmer can view fatherhood. You know, he's not the God who says, oh, where are you? So I can just slap you around because he's just like, you're ruining everything, you know, let's move on with our lives. No, he's a God who gets down with us. Where are you? So I can come alongside you and do a great work alongside you. And it's that image of God, that view of God that we have the privilege and the opportunity to discover today. So what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be looking at three images of God, three metaphors that can help us to understand God better, so that when we think of God, we don't think of this cosmic God. It's like, but instead we think of our loving Father who's alongside of us, who's helping us along the way. So, and it's this invitation that we have the opportunity to come alongside and to see, this invitation to see God and to get to know him and get to view him better. And we're going to be looking at images and metaphors because that's some of the ways in which God communicates with us, you know. There are so many metaphors in Scripture of who God is, but each of them communicate the same thing. This is how God is like. Because if left to ourselves, there's just no words to describe how God is like. If we had to say, no, God, enough with the metaphors. Tell me right now, how are you and who are you really? Put it down in writing. What we'd read is, God is like, it wouldn't make sense because he's so unfathomable. He's too big, you know. So because of that, he gives us metaphors. He gives us images, pictures that we can relate to so that when we think of that, it's like, okay, that's what God is like. So we're going to be looking at three of them today to help us to understand and to view God better. So we can see the God who mends fences with us and not the God who we can sometimes be given, who is distant and tries to smite us down as much as possible. So are you ready for them? Three images that can help us to see God better. The first image is God is an artist. God is an artist. Isaiah 64 verse 8 tells us, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And we're told in Psalm 19 verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." Now we're given this image of God as a potter who cares, as a artist who paints his brush and just is so enamored by what he's doing and what he's creating. Now, I did art all the way up to matric. So all of us in our class that we were in, we all loved the works of art that we did. You know, we're all like, oh, this is like I'm pouring my heart and soul into this. You know, so whether it was like pottery or pastel work or paint, in fact, not paint because our art teacher told us none of us in the class are great at paint, so none of us are allowed to do it. She was a nice old lady. But it's like, you guys are useless at this. So any other art form that we did, we poured our hearts into it, got bashed down a little bit. But then we still loved it. We still valued it, you know. And that's how God views us, as an artwork, as a piece of, a masterpiece, a piece of work that he just loves and he appreciates and he just values from start to finish. He has made all things beautiful. Meaning that there's beauty in everything he has made, including every single one of us. He has not made any single one of us with the blemish that has him thinking, yes, I should have done differently there. Okay, let's see how this goes. 85 years of this, let's go. He doesn't do that. Instead, he sees us and he views us and he loves us from start to finish. And the whole point of us seeing him as an artist is to help us to see ourselves as a work of art. Because this is how he sees us. We're told of his masterful handiwork in Psalm 139, verse 13. It puts it so incredibly. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." An analogy, you knit me together. God just did like a cosmic home ed class. I'm assuming everyone who knits wears glasses. Could be wrong, I'm sorry. But that's what he does, you know. He cares, he values, he's like so involved in every single person and every single thing that he makes. You know, he cares so deeply about us and for us. And that's why he wants us to see ourselves in the same way. He wants us to see ourselves the way he sees us. He loves everything that he makes. He loves everyone that he makes. So when it comes to viewing God as an artist, the invitation for us is to see ourselves and to see others as a work of art. You know, not as a like a wayward thing that's worth discarding, but actually as a work of art, masterpieces. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us that we are his workmanship, we are his masterpieces, created to do good works for him. He loves just being with us and to see us. So in our most insecure moments, it's rather than camp and settle on the insecurities and the blemishes that we may think that we have. Let's rather camp on the fact that God sees us differently. What we see as blemishes, he sees as a part of the handiwork, a part of the workmanship, as part of the clay, as part of the work that he's creating and he's doing. And when we begin to see ourselves that way, we step in with a lot more confidence. You know, when we know that, okay, I'm deeply loved, even though I may be questionable about how much I love myself. You know, he's able to do an extraordinary work in and through us because of how we view ourselves. Told Joshua, be strong and courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. You know, he told him that as soon as you start seeing yourself as a person of courage and a person of strength, how you go about the battle, you go about it differently. And the same is true for us. How you see yourself, if you see yourself the way God sees you, if you see yourself as a work of art, you begin to walk into any battlefield of life, into any situation of life, into any emotional or mental decisions that you make, knowing that you're doing it with a God who loves you, who cares for you, who sees you well. And you're able to see that other people are also a work of art. So the person who cuts you off in traffic, God knitted that person together in their mother's room. So I'm just going to touch my steering wheel and not go full tilt, you know. So we're able to see people differently because of that. So practical ways in which we can accept this invitation in our lives is to always consider ourselves to be fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, always consider that. I keep in mind Psalm 139, you know, that's the scripture where I'm fearfully and wonderfully made comes from. That's the scripture where it tells us that we've been knit together in our mother's womb. That's the scripture that tells us that that the thoughts of God are more numerous than the sands on the seashore. Like, that's how much God thinks about each and every one of us. So when we memorize Psalm 139 and we keep it in mind, we're able to see that that becomes our default setting of how we view ourselves. That correct setting, because that's the setting that God has himself. So can I encourage us? Psalm 139, keep that in mind, keep that in heart. Put it up somewhere so that you can begin to see yourself the way God sees you, as a work of art. Amen? Yeah. Amen. The second image that we see is God as an oasis. God is an oasis. Coincidentally, I was at a youth night on this past Friday, and one of the guys was preaching so incredibly about an oasis that I thought, fancy that for Sunday. I'm going to take their story and just use it right now, you know. And he told this amazing story, a memorable story of how, if you had to picture yourself right now, on your way to like a holiday destination, you know, you've slogged away your year through and now it's December and now you've packed your bags, you're on your way to a holiday destination. And all of a sudden you're sitting on the wing and the plane begins to have a bit of turbulence, there's a bit of shaking. All of a sudden you see, poof, an engine begins to fly. You're thinking to yourself, I'm pretty sure the plane needs all of those. And very soon you discover they do. And then all of a sudden the plane begins to go crashing down. All of a sudden you begin to see, we're crashing towards a desert. And you see that this desert is like approaching. What must I do? I forgot to do the thing with the thing. Even though it popped out, I got panicked. Here we are. And bam, the plane crashes. Door surprisingly swings open. Your leg is hurt, but you're able to escape through. You get through a few steps and you see, explosion. Hollywood cinema style, and you're thinking to yourself, yes, I dodged that bullet. But now what? Here we are, in the middle of the desert, sand dune upon sand dune, and what am I gonna do? And you decide, okay, I've got two options here. I can either allow the animals that are in the desert, I can't think of any animals that actually live in the desert, but you can like sit here and like watch them just like take you on one after another. Or you can think, whatever reserves I have left, I'm just gonna like crawl my way through it all. And you decide I'm gonna take option two. You know, and yeah, you are crawling, you know, and the sand is beating, like the heat from the sand is beating on the other side of your arm. You know, you're getting roasties upon roasties on your arm and all over your legs and over your face sometimes as well, because you can't just keep going like that. Sometimes you're going, oh no. You know, you're feeling this coming. You're like, oh my word, what am I going to do? You know, the sun's beating against you on the top hand, you know, like, oh my word, I feel like a raisin. Oh no. But now because you have so much time to think, because all you're doing is this, you think, no, not a raisin, more like a prune. Because, I haven't been exercising lately. So that's what makes this moment harder. I'm a big prune. You know. Then all of a sudden, over this last sand dune, you see just over down below by the valley, there's an oasis. And who here knows that in that moment, what you're not saying to yourself is, I'll consider if this oasis is my only way for life right now. I'll consider and pray about and think about if there are other options right now apart from this oasis. I think that if I just give it some time that and find my other ways and other ways of doing things, I can circle back around to this oasis and it'll still be there. No, you wouldn't think that. Instead, like in your pruneness and over here and your roastiness over here, what you're going to do is you're just going to like release and just roll down that valley until you land face first into the splashes of the oasis and you think to yourself, oh, this is everything. Thank goodness this was here. Here's my source of revival, my source of refreshment, my source of strength, my source of just encouragement in the hopelessness of it all. And you're going to think to yourself, thank goodness I chose this oasis. Thank goodness I chose this only option. Church, God is our oasis. That's who He is in our lives. We're told in Psalm 36, verses 7 to 9, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. And then Isaiah continues this imagery and this metaphor by saying in Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. God is our oasis, a place of refreshment, a place of relief, a place of refuge, a place of strength, a place of refilling. In the dryness of life, in the scorching heat of the pressures and the negativities and the doubts and the pains that can come in life, we get to just collapse in His presence and know that you will find refreshment and find hope and find strength and revival there. And when we recognize that that is our only option in the heat of the day that can be sometimes our ordinary lives, we run towards it. We don't second guess it. We don't second guess like, I wonder if Jesus is really the way. I wonder if He's worth considering. I wonder if there's another way in which I can go about this financial crisis or this relational crisis or the struggle that I'm dealing with. And then if that doesn't work, I'll circle back around to Jesus. That's as limited a thinking as being on top of a sand dune and thinking, I'm sure there's another way than this oasis. Can I encourage us to see Jesus as the only way? And let's just run towards Him. Let's just fall towards Him and watch Him do an extraordinary work. The invitation for us when it comes to this is come and drink from Him and be revived by Him. Because that's what He does. Let's drink daily of His living waters. That's one way we can accept who He is, you know? We can accept the refreshment and the oasis that is God. You know, we look to His word, we look to prayer, and we just look to those daily. I remember a couple of years ago, it was a September, I was down on my knees praying to God, feeling like I had no options for this one family crisis that I was having with a family member. I was on my way to a conversation with a family member, and I knew that if this conversation went wrong, it will probably like divide the family just instantly. In 2 hours' time, like I don't know how our family would look like. And in that moment, I thought, I can't see any other versions of this conversation than the one that goes bad. You know, so I was desperate, praying to Him, feeling like, oh, I'm in a desert right now. And in that moment, He dropped the scripture into my spirit of Isaiah 40. And it says, have you not heard? Have you not understood? Our God is the everlasting God, the creator of heaven and earth, gives strength to the weary and strengthens the youth. He says, those who trust in the Lord will find their strength renewed and will soar on wings like eagles. They'll walk and not go weary. They'll run and not grow faint. That scripture in that moment on my knees before that conversation was an oasis. God spoke so deeply to me with that scripture. And thankfully, the situation was resolved. But I knew that had it not been for that scripture, I don't know what I would have done. That's how God's word and that's how prayer can be an oasis for us in the daily outworkings of our lives. Maybe it's not something major. Maybe it's something that's just a mundane Tuesday meeting that you always have on the go. What if we walk into it knowing that, okay, I've got the backing of the refreshment of my God with me? It takes on a different posture. We take on a different look when we know that that is how we're going about our lives. So we do that. And another way in which we can drink daily of his living waters is, or at least weekly, is by being here at church every week, serving where we can serve, worshiping together, loving people, you know, connecting with people, being a part of everything that takes place here in the life of the church, you know, because everything that takes place here is designed to help us to see God as our source of refreshment. You know, it's been said, it's not going to come up on the screen right now, but somebody once said, in every desert of calamities, God has an oasis of comfort. And that's what church is on a Sunday. It's just an oasis of comfort where we're able to receive from God, whether it's through worship or through an encouragement or through us serving alongside each other. God is always, always finding avenues and finding ways to comfort us like an oasis in a desert. So can I encourage us? Let's begin to view God that way and let's begin to love him that way. Amen? And then the last image that we're going to look at today is arguably the most important one. One where if we can get this right, it can help us with our everyday lives and can propel our lives forward in how we see our faith, how we go about living our daily lives and how it is that we're able to relate to others as well. And if you are our fasters who the caffeine hit has hit right about now and where the fasting and the grumbling stomach has hit, this is where I'll encourage you to circle back in. There you go. Here's on-ramp. There we go. Yeah. Okay. The last image we're going to look at is God is a father. God is a father. He's a father. You know, where we may have struggled or where it may be a struggle to see God as a father is that so often we connect our heavenly father or the image that we have with our heavenly father to how we see our earthly father. And sometimes there can be a bit of a distortion there. Some of us may not have the best image when it comes to an earthly father. And when it comes to now seeing something like God as a father, you think, oh, there we go. If that's the most important way of seeing God, then count me out right now. Some of us may have had a great example of a father and we celebrate that. But can I encourage us that whether good or bad, the image that we have of God as father is the image that we should be focusing on today, which is so much greater and so much grander than any other image that we may have had. Romans 8 verse 15 tells us, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, it's the Hebrew word and a Hebrew term for dad, father, pops, name it. You know, that's a term there, father. And again, when we say the word father, maybe 100 different views like pop up of what a father is. Maybe you're used to seeing a man with shorts that are way too tight, sitting on a couch on a Saturday with a drink in hand and watching sports all day and just with grunts in between whenever you ask a question. Maybe you see a man who was working a lot and yes, provided like so much for the family and did so much hard work, but you barely saw him. Maybe you see a man who never showed any verbal or physical affection. In fact, may have done the opposite and showed abuse in that way. Maybe you don't see a man at all because he abandoned the family. Or maybe you see, and hopefully so, a man who did show up, who was present, who was affectionate, and who was affirmed, was affirming. But regardless of whatever our images of our heavenly father, of our earthly father, it does affect how we see our heavenly father. You know, again, going back to Intentional Father, the book by John Tyson, he says, my son's image of God is derived from our relationship with each other. And that's true with every father. So it is so important for us when we recognize and begin to speak about God as father, to recognize that we have some sort of baggage when it comes to the word father. And can I encourage us for just a moment to put that aside and to come in with a new bag where we can put in new terms, new understandings, new ways of viewing God as Father. Because what we'll begin to see is that our God, our Heavenly Father, He is the perfect Father. He is a loving Father. He is an understanding Father. He is a forgiving Father. He is a providing Father. He is an empathetic Father. He is a listening Father. He is an encouraging Father. He is a Father with all of the good and none of the bad. Hence, when Jesus says in Matthew 7 that knock and the door will be open to you, seek and you'll find, and the rest of that scripture, he says that if you wicked people can offer good gifts to your kids, how much more would your good Heavenly Father offer good gifts for you? Because he knew that this is who God is. He lived his life just knowing who this God is. That's why when he was 12 years old and was lost, that he goes over and his mother and father trying to say, like, where were you? He's like, didn't you know that I was about my Father's business? That is why when he's about to start off his ministry and he gets baptized, heaven opens, the Holy Spirit descends, and God the Father speaks to him and says, this is my beloved Son of whom I am well pleased. He was affirmed. He knew that that's who God is. And that's why at the end of his earthly life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, with all of what is about to take place, with the cross before him, he comes before God, sweat dripping, blood dripping like sweat. He's able to say, Father, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Because you are good, you're always faithful, you're always consistent, you're always constant. Whatever you say must be the way because of who you are. And when we begin to see and view God as Father, we begin to see that we can step in with the same boldness, the same confidence, and the same life that Jesus had. He says, his disciples ask him, like, Lord, you pray so good. How do we pray good like you pray? And he says, and he opens it up, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's why he starts there. He always starts with an image of Father, and he encourages us to do the exact same thing. Because when we can step in and know that God is our Father, going back to Genesis 3, when there's a lot of hiding happening, and there's a lot of where are yous, and there's a lot of like no answers. When we understand that God is Father, we're able to step forth confidently. Say, I kind of blew it there again, God. Sorry about that, you know? And knowing that we can share everything with him, and knowing that we're going to have a perfect Father helping us along the way. So the invitation for us is to give your whole self to your loving, approachable, and perfect Father. We do this best when we start referring to him as Father in our prayers, not just saying, oh God, please help me. Because that sounds desperate. Sounds like, I'm aware, if there is a God up there, please help me. But when we start to say, oh Father, please help me, we begin to have the image of the one who's helping us build a fence, or we helping build a fence alongside him. And we know that if I can speak to this guy, the guy who walks with me in the cool of the day, things look different. He is active. He is prominent. He is a focal point of my life. So can I encourage us? Let's continue in all of our prayers and all of the ways we refer to God, refer to him as Father. It shifts and it changes everything. And we begin to see, and we begin to know and begin to love God the exact same way that Jesus did. So to wrap up, you know, there are three images that we've just looked at on how it is that we can view God, three metaphors that when we think of God, if we can think of him in this way, can help us profoundly in how we go about our faith. Firstly, he's an artist and therefore sees us as a work of art. Secondly, he's an oasis, and therefore we can find refreshment. And then lastly, he's our Father, meaning we are his kids, hanging out with him daily and finding our encouragement with him always. So as we close, I heard the story the other day of the Mona Lisa. And I'm going to drink a bit of water before I get into it. Now, in 2021, there was a fake copy of the Mona Lisa that had been painted, and that was about to be auctioned at an auction house in Paris. And that fake painting got sold at that auction house for $3.4 million. And everyone thought to themselves, how could that guy who bought that painting buy the painting? Everyone knows that it's a fake. And then people, experts, actually started to look at the painting more closely. And then they started to wonder, I wonder if the one that's hanging in the Louvre is actually the real Mona Lisa. And I wonder if this one is actually the real one. And to this day, the guy who bought the painting still believes that he has got the real Mona Lisa painting. That is how convincing it is. But it took one expert to look at the fake copy and to look at the real copy and to say, this image here is incorrect, and this is the image here that we should be focusing on. And this is the image here that is the right image of the Mona Lisa. This one that's been, we've backed for many years, this is the image that we should be referring to and looking at as the Mona Lisa, regardless of how convincing the other one is, regardless of how expensive the other one is. It took one expert to show the correct image, and everyone knows now for sure. Did you know that for us, when it comes to our faith, Jesus is the one expert who came down to earth, who looked at all the various images of God, all the various images that we've been sold on and been presented for us, all these images that could be fake and that can be expensive, that has us saying that you must work harder, you must try harder, then, maybe then, you can have a way to get to God and to get eternal life. And it took Jesus, the expert, to come down, live a perfect life for 33 years, die on the cross, be resurrected 3 days later, to say there is only one image of God the Father, and this is the image that we should follow. The God that I follow is the God that we should follow. And hence he says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the truth about the Father, and I am the way to life to get to know the Father. So it's the perfect, when Jesus came, he was a perfect expert, the perfect example of how it is that we can get to see the very perfect image of who God is in our lives. So by following Jesus, we get to every single day, consistently and constantly, without a shadow of a doubt, knowing that I'm on my way to God. I'm on the way of knowing God the Father. I'm on the way of knowing for sure the God who comes alongside of me, walks along me with me in the cool of the day, but also helps me in all my daily activities. A God who formed me from, who knitted me in my mother's womb, who formed me in the dust. That same God is the same God who is with me because I know who Jesus is. My Lord, Savior, and friend, he tells me who God is every single day. And maybe you're here today and you may not have been aware of who Jesus is in your life. And if that's you, this moment is especially for you, because I'd love the opportunity to invite you to know Jesus as your Lord, Savior, and friend. He provides us with the freedom that we need to live our lives the best possible way. He provides us with the hope that we need to go about our lives, the forgiveness that we need, and for any shame or condemnation that we've nailed on ourselves. But also, he shows us this perfect image of God, the God he knows, the God who viewed him as a work of art, the God who he always came to as a refreshment, and the God who he always, always saw as a father. And he presents us with that God every single day of our lives when we believe in him and come alongside him as his followers. Let's pray. If that's you and you'd love the opportunity to invite Jesus to be your friend, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. And when I do so, it'll be an opportunity for you to simply slip up your hand. That's all. And I'll know who it is I'll be praying for in just a moment. I'll pray a quick prayer that is an invitational prayer where you can invite Jesus to be the Lord, Savior, and friend of your life, so that you know that going forward, you are going on this lifelong journey with the same Jesus who helps you to see God for who he truly is, your loving Father. So if that's you, on the count of three, you can slip up your hand. I love the privilege and the opportunity to pray for you. Love the privilege of watching you make the greatest and best decision of your life. So if that's you, at the count of three, just slip up your hand. One, two, three. If you want to invite Jesus to be your Lord, Savior, and friend, thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Amazing. In the middle bank. Thank you. You can slip your hand back down after I've seen it. Thank you. In the side bank, I see your hand as well. Anyone else? We never love to rush these moments because our whole church service from beginning to end is about this moment, allowing us to come alongside each other and watch what Jesus is able to do in our lives when He is our Lord. So if that's you, one last call. Want Him to come into your life as your Lord, Savior, and friend, so that you can see God the way He truly should be seen. You can slip up your hand right now. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I'm going to pray, and if you raise your hand, you can just allow this to be the prayer of your heart right now. You can just pray this quietly in your spirit and just agree in your heart as I pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so, so much for dying on the cross for me, for living a perfect life for me, for helping me to see God the Father for who He truly is. Help me, Lord, to live alongside you. Help me to step into the life that you have to offer me. A life where you are my Lord, where you are my Savior, where you are my friend, where you are the way, the truth, and the life. And help me, Lord, to live this way and to live your way going forward. Sorry for all the times I've blown it and tried my own thing. Help me now, Lord, to continuously run towards you as an oasis, as I begin to live in your refreshments from here on in. In your mighty and powerful name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.